Introducing QuoteBeam, the game changer in simplifying parts procurement. Tired of endless part searches? Dive into QuoteBeam's extensive inventory, making it easy to find what you need. Can't find a specific part? No worries, QuoteBeam's team of experts is on standby, ready to provide you with the quote quickly. Engineers and procurement buyers, let QuoteBeam streamline your search, freeing you up for more significant tasks. Explore QuoteBeam now by visiting us at quotebeam.com. Hey, everyone. If there's anybody here, it's just me so far today. So this is a first. I think we're at about close to 2 years in on Automation Ladies. We're on season 3. I think we're on 60 something episodes out on the official, on the podcast, out on iTunes and all that stuff. We recorded a lot more because of that. But this is the first time that nobody has shown up for a live or a recording, at least not yet. If you guys are here in the comments and you're watching today, hopefully you'll give me like the usual 5 to 10 minute grace period. If you've scheduled a Zoom meeting or a sales call with someone, you give them a little bit of grace before you decide to call it a day, give everybody their time back. And yeah, there we go. Okay, we have a guest. Hey, Preston.
How y'all doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well, having a little bit of technical difficulty here getting on, but I am on. I'm just now trying to get my AirPods to work right.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for jumping on. How's your day? We just recorded yesterday with someone that we had to wait for him to pull over in his car. You know, so we know the life of a business owner, integrator, engineer. Like, it's that's why I say on the show, you're guaranteed to get at least one of us, because Courtney or Allie at any given time might be out in the field or taking a call or whatever that may be. So how's your day gone so far, aside from the technical difficulties, Preston?
Yeah, it's doing well. Just hopping off of a machine build and getting a couple of projects knocked out. So yeah, keeping pretty busy today.
Can you tell us a little bit, as much detail as you can, I guess, about what type of machine you're building?
Yeah, so it's a leak test machine. We're leak testing a component, and then we are pressing a component into that. It's like a metal pin. And then we're laser marking the part if it was a successful leak test. And then we're either putting it onto a conveyor that takes the part out of the machine for an operator to collect and package, or we are putting it down a chute beneath the table into a reject bin that operators can then collect reject parts from.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Are you guys inspecting the laser mark or some of the vision, right?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're using like a Keyence barcode reader to look at the quality of the mark. And then we're using that to also collect the, each mark is unique to the part. It's serialized. Yeah. So then we're, you know, scanning that barcode, and then we're taking all of our leak test data and all of our other data that we're collecting, and we're attaching it to that serial number, and then we're data logging that with some Python scripts to a like CSV file on a computer on the machine.
Very cool. The show's not supposed to start this late, but I couldn't help myself but ask.
No, I understand. It's cool. This is the cool stuff that I like to talk about. So
yeah, it's I think a part of what a lot of us love about the job. It's like, you know, it doesn't always feel like work. Of course, it's a crap ton of work, right?
Oh,
and
sure,
it can get
yeah.
real hard.
Yeah.
But the problem solving and getting to build a machine like that, or, you know, a process like that, isn't there something just so cool about that? You may not know this, but I used to sell vision, barcode, and laser markers with Keyence back in the day.
Oh.
Back when they were all part of the same division. They're not anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I got to play with the lasers in my lab. And I can't say that I didn't have a heck of a time with that sometimes.
Yeah, lasers are really cool stuff. I mean, it's, you know, I used to run a laser back in the family business. We used to mark all of our aluminum anodized parts. I ran a CO2 laser. That's when I first got my introduction to that. But in automation, it's not much different. You're more or less marking either a 2D matrix serialization code, or you're, you know, marking part markings, logos, whatever the case might be. So,
yeah. No, it's a really great way to get a durable mark with low overhead. I mean, yeah, it's pretty cool. So I'll back up and I guess start the episode the way that we normally would.
Sure.
If you could tell us a little bit, I mean, I think we put a little bit out of this in the description of the episode, but you started in the family business, but I'd love to hear kind of at what point, you know, did automation become an interest for you? And then just, you know, how did you get to be doing what you're doing today, running Envision? And then we can talk about rapid panels a little bit too later, or you can take it all the way, however you like to go.
Yeah, I'll make it brief and quick, because I know I'm sure a few people on LinkedIn have heard a lot of these stories a few times, and it gets a little mundane, I'm sure. But third, you know, out of high school, working in the family business, my dad started was a manufacturing company that manufactured firearms components. These were like handrails, muzzle brakes that went on the end of the barrel, just kind of accessories to firearms at the time. And, you know, I started out on the floor running parts and eventually built the e-commerce side of things, and marketing is where I landed eventually. I also was doing IT with the company, so I did all the IT infrastructure on that stuff. And my brother, he actually ran the floor and kind of followed in my dad's footsteps, became a tool. And so he would run the floor, do all the tool making for the jobs and the jigs and all that good stuff. And just kind of wore, you know, a few hats and got parts out the door. We sold parts through that company. I was there for about 10 years. I had a break in between, but 10 total years. My brother was there the entire time. I think it was close to, I want to say close to 12 or 13 years, something like that. And so I left there to do other things. And I worked like multiple jobs. I worked at like FedEx Freight. I worked a security job. I just kind of didn't know where I wanted to land. And then I eventually was introduced to a gentleman by my father that mentored me in controls. He'd been doing controls for like 20 something years as an independent contractor. And so that's where I got my start. He shipped me all over the country to support the installation, commissioning of equipment for other bigger OEM companies and machine builders. And then I also would follow up and you know, do services and stuff like that for those companies. That started in about, I think it was 2017 is when that started. I started my company in 2019, and just kind of more or less because I didn't have him anymore. I was his employee, and then he moved on to other things. And so, yeah, I started my LLC, started my company, and then just kind of rolled into this. My dream has always been to run a company where we're building machines, doing automation, you know, turnkey. And that's what we're doing today. So as far as rapid panels, that's a recent venture. So the machine I just showed you, every bit of Lexan and ABS air cell plastic on the machine was cut out with rapid panels. It's more or less, it's a really smooth and easy CNC fabrication service for Lexan guarding, ABS guarding, stuff like that. So right now we're working through issues with the website for uploading 3D and 2D files to get instant pricing. But nonetheless, it's a service in which you can get that stuff quoted and rapidly turned around is the idea. Because a lot of the plastics houses that we've worked with in the past on these products for our own builds have been, well, they're not efficient. They're trying to sell you plastic material. They're not necessarily trying to sell you the fabrication service. And so we're trying to pick up the end in the market of the fabrication side, where we're high attention to detail to the fabrication and less attention to detail and trying to sell you plastic material. You know, we're not a distributor. We stock it, we cut it, we ship it to you. Something else that's on the horizon for rapid panels that we haven't really pushed yet, and I'm not actually sure if it will be something that sticks around, but we had a thought of having, you know, somewhat common size of stock that machine builders and designers could actually use CAD files from our website, integrate it into their design, and then they would be actually on the shelf in stock, ready to ship. Just to cut down on machine building time. That's not been validated. It's a neat idea, but, you know, it's not been validated. But our core business will be, you know, the custom fabrication of your files for your guarding materials. So, yeah, that's all of it in a nutshell, but we can dig into more specifics if you'd like.
All of it, man. I think that this is fantastic. I particularly, I guess, connect with and understand like that drive to always, when you're looking around at what you need, what others need around you, when you see that gap, to not just gloss it over, but to, you don't necessarily always jump to create something to fill that gap. But once you see it enough, right, you see that pattern, you start to build that case mentally. At some point, you realize, hey, maybe this is something I should do. How long do you think it was between the time you recognized the need for rapid panels and the time that you pulled the trigger on it? You know, making it a business?
Probably 10 months, a little under a year. Yeah. So I suffer from, I don't know what to call it, but more or less, I've got a lot of creativity and I get it from my dad, and he's a very creative guy. And so I have a lot of ideas pop into my mind, and I have to remember that not all of them are worth pursuing. And most certainly I don't have the time to pursue them all anyway. And, you know, a few people, they said, hey, what's this rapid panels thing? I explained it. And they said, well, yeah, with all that extra time you got, that's what you should have done, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I know, you know, but I have passion for it. And I believe in my heart that it's a useful service and that it will grow to be something significant like Envision. Otherwise I would not have invested time and money and effort into it so far. So, you know, it's out of the probably few hundred things that I write down every year. I have, I like a, I have like a little notepad and I'll just sit there and write down things that come to mind, whether it's a product idea. Like this is a product we recently posted on LinkedIn. We actually we're having to rename it, but
okay.
Let me put it this way. A company reached out and said, your name is too similar to something else we sell in a totally different market. But hey, you know, just don't name it that. But nonetheless, this is the neat little product that we've been developing in-house. It's actually an Ethernet disconnect device. So, you know, it really depends on what it is, but I most certainly am not trying to chase too many things or have too many irons in the fire.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of, you know, a thing that you learn to juggle a little bit over time. I would say initially for me, also, it was a bit of like shiny object syndrome. There's always something cool that you can do.
Yeah.
But then you learn, what I've learned is I can't stop myself from doing it. But what I can try to do is make sure that I only spend my time on things that are at least synergistic to what I already do.
Correct.
Or they don't diverge too much or take too much attention or like overcommitting with new things when I know I have other things that I need to see through too.
I totally agree. Right? I mean, like, you know, my number one, you know, my baby, my number one priority is, hi.
Hey there.
Hey, nice hat. I wonder where you got that from.
Yeah, she's here, and she's wearing an Envision hat.
Yeah.
She should have worn a hat. Right, I'm not even having a good hair day.
But yeah, my baby, my number one priority is Envision, always has been, always will be. The company's growing, and we're having great success, and we have a great team, and we do really cool projects. But like I said, it's hard to stop that creativity, you know. But with Rapid Panels, I felt a real strong calling to it and quite a bit of passion for it. So otherwise, it would not have happened. I most certainly, this stage in my career with Envision, probably don't have nearly as much time as I'd wish I had when it comes to other things like that. But it most certainly is. It's out there now. And so now we're going to make a commitment and make it happen. So
can you bring that Ethernet device back into the picture? Because yeah. Allie didn't see it. Allie, just to recap you.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. And it turns out
Thank
you.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. He showed us a machine that he's building that includes some
Where is it? Now you can buy it from him.
Oh, not yet. This is a prototype. We don't have any for sale or anything like that. We're still going through validation.
Oh, okay. Currently. How long is that going to take? I want one.
I'm not entirely sure. I mean, we can work on getting some out to, you know, to some of you guys out here.
Some betas.
Can give us. Yeah, exactly. Like get some feedback on. And
I know Caleb Travis.
You know, you do. Okay. Yeah. Then I need to talk to him. Yeah. I know I was talking to Josh as well. I wanted to get specific. It's very close to home for him to the kind of work that he does. So
I think the more that we can give access to like us to the IT-OT battle part. I just actually came from a talk with Ashley about cybersecurity and just like literally added her to our group. Nikki, that's really funny. On the spot, like that's how much she just like is us.
But Preston, we would like to take this live opportunity to extend an invitation for you to come to Houston to OT SCADAcon and bring your prototype. If you'd like to, there are systems integrators from the US and Canada so far all signed up, a bunch of them to come hang out with us and talk about all things SCADA and controls and automation. So we hope that you can make it.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that looks smaller in relation now that you showed it to me in person next to you than like just looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
So without scale on LinkedIn. That's actually pretty nice and small.
Yeah. And it's so just to give a quick description and I'll put it away, but more or less, this is an Ethernet disconnect device that, you know, pretty much provides somewhat of an air gap. And the reason for this being developed and designed, this was a 4-year-old idea. You know, one of my ideas I had written down on a pen and pad. And more or less, we had customers that had issues with integrators and builders getting into machines, making program changes when they didn't necessarily expect them to, or maybe they didn't want them to. There was lack of communication, probably, you know, between teams internally, where some people may have known there may have been changes coming and others not. And then I think there are legitimately, there's probably been some cases out there where people have logged into equipment for nefarious reasons, whether they want to bill extra time or they, you know, whatever the case might be. But this was a device that was devised to give the power back to the customer to shut off that remote connection. I'm not entirely sure about this, but my customers were like, hey, we don't know what Ethernet cable to pull to give to kill access, because we just don't want them in here. And we want to be able to control access for the integrator or for the builder. So that this is what that does. This can be tied into your PLC or your HMI or even just a switch or a button that allow the, you know, supervisors or plant manager or whoever to give access to any kind of remote VPN device that's cellular or otherwise.
Very cool. Yeah, I think, you know, integrators like yourselves, like or people that are out there in the field, you see those gaps. It may not be, you know, the billions and billions of market cap of somebody to go develop this product, right? But you know exactly the customer for this.
Yeah, it's very niche. Yeah.
Your customers, right?
Yep.
We have a few people here that are also fellow idea people that start businesses. Vlad.
Hi, hey, Vlad.
I just saw that he's the co-founder of a software company, among other things. And of course, Soli's PLC and Catch Them on the Manufacturing Hub, which you have sponsored. You're one of the sponsors of their show, right?
Yep.
Preston.
Yeah, I've sponsored. I think I sponsored a few episodes last year, the year before, something like that.
Yeah. That was around the time that I started to see more of you and your company and start to interact with you guys. I think I probably came on your episode or at least watched it. That was fantastic.
Thank you.
And then we have Frank Oetlinger. Hey, Frank, thanks for joining us. My CEO, Roman, actually literally just came from visiting them up in Wisconsin earlier today on his way back from Minnesota. And yeah, he invented a product called Angle Lock, which basically is a re-engineered aluminum extrusion that can carry as much weight, if not more, than structural steel. And its brackets are basically when you have a machine or something that vibrates over time, instead of those brackets becoming loose and the, you know, machine or the structure going out of alignment, it actually tightens over time. It just stays completely in alignment, which is the lock part.
I've actually heard of that. I've heard of that brand. Yeah.
If you want a demo kit, let me know. Frank's been nice enough to send some free demos to some of my friends. And I've got one in my Houston office, actually. But I love meeting people like that in the community because they're, you know, they don't just sit and complain about problems or missing products or whatever. They, you know, take action, make something happen to solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Innovation. And you know, that's been a long problem of T-slot or extruded aluminum strut, so to speak, has been that exact thing. It does not hold up to vibration. Any machine we've ever built that has any kind of vibration that matters, we use steel for that reason, usually a welded frame. So that's a phenomenal idea. I've never used it myself, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, and it's made right up in Wisconsin. So short lead times, great team, locally made. So I have no like affiliation at the moment other than I've talked to Frank a few times. Mm-hmm. And I just got real excited about it when he told me about it. And he got excited that I was excited about it. And I think sometimes as fellow business owners or, you know, people that do this kind of stuff, you get excited when you talk to someone that's equally as
fired up. Absolutely.
Prolific in their ideas and fired up by change and things like that. So beta testing and stuff like that. If anybody out there has a new product or has solved their problem and you want somebody to cheer you on and give you some feedback, I'm definitely one of those people. I think everybody else here is one of those people that are in the chat. Make friends with them. Connect with them if you don't know them, because they are also those types of people. So next question. Preston, you started working for your dad. You've worked with your brother. You and your brother clearly gravitated towards different parts of the business. Different personalities, I'm sure. My sister and I are the same. We also grew up working for my dad, and I kind of gravitated towards the front of the house, and she went to the back. She wanted to solder and assemble and not talk to anybody. And I answered the phone and went to trade shows and did accounting and all kinds of stuff. Have you had mainly a positive experience like working with family, or is that also a challenge, you know, to navigate?
I think overwhelmingly, yeah, it's pretty positive, but if I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a little difficult at times. I mean, I think everyone handles that differently. Personality types play into that a lot. So, you know, having father-son relationships in businesses can be tough. Those are tough even without a business sometimes, especially if father and son are more alike than they believe they are. It can be a little difficult, butt heads and stuff like that. Overall, it was a great thing for our family and great thing really for our careers as well. I mean, you know, when I left the family business, I most certainly wasn't making a lot of money or, you know, didn't have a lot of money in the bank or anything like that. But I did leave with a lot of other wealth, you know, that was the wealth of knowledge and really just going through a lot of tough times that taught me lessons that I think are coming in handy today, you know. But my brother, who I love dearly, I love all of my family, of course, but my brother and I are the closest out of me and my other siblings and even me and my dad. And he's very much still mechanically involved. And, you know, he works over at a company called Accuride in Kentucky. They make truck wheels. And he's bounced around after the family business closed. But, you know, he's always stayed in something that is either in the machine shop or right outside the machine shop. But these days, he's more involved with CAD work and design. And he's, again, when it comes to the family, like we both can mesh really well together with our knowledge, but we're two alike. And actually, we're identical twins. So it's almost like...
Well, I should have known that. I met you guys.
Yeah, you met us at IMTS.
I met your brother very briefly at IMTS.
Yep.
And it was a bit surreal because knowing you and then not knowing him.
Yeah, and he's just looks just like me. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, but, you know, again, I think you have two people who are highly driven and can sometimes butt heads, you know, that's just how it is. Otherwise he'd be working here at Envision with me. But yeah, it just hasn't shook out that way. And he's happy where he's at. He's doing really well. So yeah.
That's really great to hear. I think when it works, then family businesses or, you know, working in a family environment can be a huge asset just in the terms that you kind of get the opportunity to learn a lot of things that if you worked somewhere where they didn't know you, they weren't able to support you outside of the job, you know, you oftentimes wouldn't be let to do a lot of the things that you can learn in a family business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a double-edged sword, though.
You start working a lot earlier.
It's double-edged. It's like, yeah, and one day you might be running production parts on a CNC. You might be packaging a crate full of parts to the anodized company, or you might be on a customer service call or shipping something out. So yeah, no, it's, you do. And that's what I was, you know, getting at earlier. You definitely learn a lot. You wear many hats and you most certainly have to rely on each other and pick up slack where it is as at all possible. So, yeah, I definitely, and I've met other companies that have their family owned or their family run, and everyone handles it just a little bit differently. It really depends on the personality types, and just kind of the overall, you know, health of the relationship too. So.
Yep, very true. We have, Johnny Wilson here said hi. Hey, Johnny. He's over at Rivian, if I remember correctly, still. E-Plan extraordinaire, which reminds me, Allie is getting E-Plan license and some of her people are getting training. So I'm going to have to make sure to let them know to hit Johnny up for advice if they need or help. There's a great community of people that we know that share resources and trainings, things like that. And that's part of what I love about, you know, this kind of community of Allie and I were just talking earlier, LinkedIn was being glitchy about something. And I was like, oh, we need our own something. But it's like this LinkedIn is kind of where our professional community hangs out on, you know, virtually. And for me, it's been really fun to get to know people from all over the place because it used to kind of be hyper local. You know, you'd have your territory or your area that you would feel comfortable, like driving a few hours where you see your customers or whatever. And now it's, you know, across cities, we're meeting at conferences and things. Are you going back to IMTS this year, Preston?
No. No, it was cool just to go up there and attend and look at some of the neat technology. So that was actually a fluke. My brother, he wanted to go. He actually bought tickets up there just because, and he just wanted to see some of the stuff up there. Again, he's like me, he just loves that stuff. He's on the mechanical side of things. So he was supposed to go with my father, and then he backed out and he said, hey, you want to go? I said, absolutely. So then I went up there, seen you guys, seen a few other people. Shout out to Tim Wilburn, great guy. I love the guy. I love what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I like the recent build he's doing too. He's got the panel that pulls out from underneath his automation cell that he built. That was pretty cool. But yeah, it was cool just to go up there and see some of the technology. I did talk to a few vendors up there actually about some specific project things, but it's nothing I couldn't have called them about over the phone. So more or less, it was just a fun trip. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And I do find like a show that big, it's also just overwhelmingly big.
Yeah.
And you end up walking around in a daze going, oh, you know, like there's so much to see. I didn't even realize there were so many halls, but that was my first time ever going to IMTS. I had been to like PAC Expo, Automate, other smaller and more niche, I guess, niche shows.
Yeah.
IMTS kind of covers the whole gamut of manufacturing technology. Is it because you know, as a business owner are just too busy to keep going to these things, or you generally don't see the value, or are you curating going to other places this year?
Probably the first answer. Yeah, I'm just really busy. My current method is we've got plenty of work, plenty of customers. I'll just keep them happy, and that'll be fine for now.
Yeah.
I've been asked to come to shows, show after show by a bunch of people. And don't get me wrong, I'd like to go. But yeah, I find it to cut into the time I would be otherwise spending here. So that's pretty much been my... And I'm a little bit of a introvert, extrovert. I don't know how that actually works, but I don't normally get out and about a ton, put in a lot of time here. But, you know, when I do get out, it's a fun time. So I've been asked to come to like PAC Expo or to Automate, you know, but I've skipped it every year. I am going down to, it's not a convention, so to speak, or an expo, but I'm going down to KUKA Connection next week in Florida. So, but that's also part of my vacation time too. So...
That's nice. You can combine it. I always go to those places on the beach, and like some of my friends and family will be like, oh, you get to go to all these nice places. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I didn't leave the hotel. So yeah. I could have been anywhere. Honestly, I go from the airport to the hotel, and then I'm working all night after talking to people all day. And I, like you, many people are surprised. I'm also an introvert. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I like to stay home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And going to these things takes a lot out of me. And then when you have them back to back, you just start to like get kind of drained.
Oh, so absolutely.
It's funny, yeah. Like, you know, conventions full of engineers, it does seem like a little bit of a, I don't know, an oxymoron in the sense of like the socializing around it. So there's actually a funny coincidence or misunderstanding that happened. Caleb Travis came down to Houston when Allie was here a few months ago. And we went to dinner with Caleb's family and my family. And Caleb and Allie were talking about Automation Fair or one of these shows or something. And they were like, oh, it's just a big party. You know, we go and hang out with people. And then later on, my husband and I got into something a couple weeks later. And he's like, well, and all you do when you travel is just party. And I was like, what? Yeah. He's like, well, Allie and Travis said that these conventions are nothing but parties. And I said, babe, I don't think it's not the type of party you're thinking of. I said, Caleb and Allie are business owners. Trust me, they have no life. That's like the closest to a party they've probably been to in a while, which is why you'll hear it described that way. Mm-hmm. And of course, there are very nice like cocktail hours and after parties and things like that, but it's still work. I mean, you go to the after hours and you're still working. So it is kind of a double-edged thing, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it is nice. I'm looking forward to being one of those people that goes to like a KUKA Connections or an AHGD meeting and actually makes use of the, you know, extended hotel block to take myself a couple of days of actual vacation in one of those nice places. But I'm still at a point where like, if I'm at a conference all day, that also means I'm catching up on work all night.
Well,
I get home. So.
Well, to be fair, the only reason I'm going down there for KUKA is very strategic for the business. And, you know, I was going to go down there. It's like Monday through Wednesday or whatever. Okay. We haven't taken a vacation in a while, so might as well just extend that through the rest of the week and then take some time off. I don't take very many vacations immediately. I mean, I think the last one I took was about 4 years ago. So it's, you know, it just kind of works out. So
yeah, that's great. Yeah. Like I said, you know, it's especially those of us with the limited time and many obligations and expectations, the more you can synergize those things together, the more you can accomplish.
Agreed.
Becca says, introvert over extrovert, ambivert. Oh, I have not heard that. I'm not entirely sure how to like say this out as an equation or as a sentence, but
So she's saying if you're both an introvert and an extrovert, that makes you an ambivert. Or
oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay, no joke. Okay, gotcha.
And Becca is a technical translator, so she probably knows this language very well. We have a few questions about shows. Is anyone going to visit Hanover Fair in Germany? I'm pretty sure that Vlad is going, if I'm not mistaken. I think that they're doing some stuff, recording over there, maybe. Vlad, chime in if I'm wrong, or maybe you want to contact Michael and plan to meet up if you guys are both going to Germany. I am not, and I think as we just learned, Preston is not.
Unfortunately.
And then is anybody heading to Reliable Plant in Chicago in June? No, I actually didn't know about that.
Yeah, what is that?
Yeah, great question. You know, I just learned about Power Test Conference. It was in Dallas a few weeks ago. Allie ended up going with our friend Andrea and Naomi from Electrotech, who's been on the show before. But those are, I guess, like adjacent areas to what we do. that I don't know enough about to know those events. So no, we are not going to Reliable Plant, but I am now going to look it up and see what it is. And if anybody else that watches this show or sees this later, I cannot actually see who this is. So because the settings on this person's profile don't allow us to see who they are here in the comments, you can probably see it on LinkedIn though, natively. I just can't see it now. If anybody is going to Reliable Plant, then come find this person in the comments, connect with them ahead of time. It's always nice to go to a conference when you know that you're going to know at least a few people. I find that myself, at least. You don't walk into, you know, a convention hall full of strangers, and at least you can text someone and say, like, hey, are you around? How do you feel about that, Preston, when you walk into events like that? Does it come easy for you, or do you feel a little lost when you don't know anybody?
Yeah, no, I'm looking for the nearest person I know. You know, I don't know, really kind of depends on the day. But yeah, normally if I'm somewhere, I'm looking for someone that I know, and then maybe they can introduce me to other people, and then I break the ice. Otherwise, I'm not a huge fan of walking into unknown circumstances like that without at least somebody. I mean, I'm going down to Florida next week, and I know at least two or three people there. So it'll make it a little easier to socialize and meet new people. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit there and kind of wave and smile until someone walks up to me. Facetiously, yeah. Of course, but nonetheless, that is the introvert side of me. If I don't know you, it's hard to get that ball rolling sometimes. Now, when I'm doing sales and I'm out in the field meeting with new customers, it just flicks on like a light switch. And then it's as if I knew you, you know, before. But it's something where it's not sales driven. I'm just totally at a loss. I do my very best. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to learn this being in sales early in my career.
Yeah.
Just force myself to be extroverted.
Yep.
And even then, after I did, you know, I'm good at that. Like, when I know that there's value in me being there and there's a purpose to talk and all of that, mm-hmm. it comes very easily to me to connect with the person. But when you're in like a room full of people and you're not sure who needs you or if they do, then that's a very different situation. It took me many years to feel more comfortable walking into a room like that and being able to strike up a conversation with a group of strangers that probably feel like you and don't want to talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be easier to talk to people that you don't know you can help them versus when you might be asking for something or, you know, like I'm going down to Florida to more or less get value from that, not give value so much. So it'll make for a different interaction. But yeah, when I go on a customer site and I'm talking to them, my number one priority is fixing their problem. So it just, you know, that's my drive.
So I just bought this book on Amazon, and the author is somebody that I found on LinkedIn through a mutual connection. So I messaged this guy, Nick Gray. He lives in Austin, and I saw that he wrote this book. And so I'm a woman of action. I ordered it probably the same day or the next day, and I read it. And in the first chapter, he challenges you to throw your own party. So the name of the book, for those that are listening, is called The 2-Hour Cocktail Party by Nick Gray, How to Build Big Relationships with Small Gatherings. And it's his blueprint for how to, I guess, run a party, a cocktail party, where you invite people that you know, but they maybe don't know each other. And how to run that in a way that isn't awkward and actually let people mingle and, you know, get something good out of it without it running way too long or people being super awkward, not knowing what to do. It's got some really great tips in here. And so I'm actually throwing a party on 2 weeks from now on Tuesday when Allie's going to be in town. So yeah, I guess there's a shout out for that. But this is something that I've realized, you know, everybody can work on. So if anybody out there, you know, it kind of struggles with socializing in a professional way, going to networking events, going to conferences, there's plenty of things that you can work on. Most people feel that way, I think, at least in the beginning. And those that look super confident and like it there, it feels so natural to them. I think many of them, they just practice a lot or they got used to it. People say to me, for instance, like for this or whatever, like that I make it look so easy. It looks easy now because I've done it a lot, but it wasn't easy at first. And it didn't look so easy, I think, at first. And I think most things that are worth doing, you have to work hard for. Is there something in your business that came more easily than others or something that, you know, that stood out as something that you particularly had to work on hard?
Yeah. Analytical, you know, thinking about the business side, the finances, the engineering work, The legal work, that stuff, for whatever reason, I jive with pretty well. And I'm really glad I do. I mean, I run the business. I ought to jive well with all of that. Too many people, I guess, may start a business with the misconception that they'll have to do any of that. And they were a technician that started a small business, and then they became upset that they had to do administrative work and worry about the cash of the company and worry about payroll. You know, if they make it that far, of course, to hiring and all that. That stuff came relatively easy for me. What was a little harder was the extroverted sales. You know, honestly, I've been blessed with LinkedIn and some of the things that have happened on here, because if I didn't have LinkedIn, it would be much harder for me to do sales, at least initially. Now it's fine.
Yeah.
But in the early days, you know, I made a few mistakes trying to, you know, do a lot of cold emails. I really sucked at cold calls. It was just really rough. And, you know, I'm sure whoever received phone calls or emails from me thought it was more reminiscent of like a, you know, a marketing agency or some BS like that. But now I've honed in much more on that. But yeah, that was difficult, is trying to get that right. I actually had a guy tell me one time, I won't name him. He's not even in our industry, but he's call him a confidant of mine, someone who I can lean on for certain things. And, mm-hmm. you know, he told me one time, he said, he does realty, and he's also done business development for, I'd say, most of his career. And he says, hey, they can smell you from a mile away. And
yeah.
And I was like, what does that mean? You know, I didn't know that that's how I was perceived. And so I worked on that perception, and I worked on my authenticity and becoming more genuine and more about, because don't get me wrong, I've always been genuine, but I think how I was coming off was inauthentic. And I was driven, you know, I want sales, I need work for the business, and hey, I'm here to help. You know, when you're first starting out, it's your word. And if they don't know you, they don't know you. So it can sometimes come off really weird and, you know, really strange to some people. But these days, now that the business is in a different place and I'm much more comfortable doing sales, personally speaking, and more extroverted about it, that's much easier now. So yeah, but early on, I'm sure I came off like a car salesman. You know, it must have been really painful for anyone who I dealt with. But for the people that did take a chance on me, and thank God they did, and I'm thankful to them that they did, they found out that, yeah, he's probably a little weird, but he can get the job done. You know, at least that's what I hope. You know, that's my awareness of it, I think.
Yeah, I actually also, I'm connected with people that I connected with many years ago at a different job, when I first realized that like reaching out to people on LinkedIn could be a way to do business development. And I would get those messages, and I'm like, huh, that's not, you know, sometimes I would respond to those meeting requests or pitches or whatever. And so it was the new thing to do, and I tried it. And my pitch wasn't overly asking for anything. It was like, hey, you know, I work for this company. We do analytics and business intelligence with AI. If that's something that you've ever been interested in exploring, like maybe we should connect. There wasn't like a big ask or schedule a meeting with me or a hard sale, but it was still awkward.
Oh yeah.
And still to this day, see some of those messages, because somebody will comment or I'll go check like my messages with someone. And I'm like, oh yeah, they got that. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they're cringeworthy. Sometimes they're not.
Inauthentic to how I would speak now that I'm more confident in myself and I know what I'm doing. Right.
Let's use the word seasoned, right? Yeah. You're seasoned now. And it's like, they were cringeworthy. I'm sure the ones I sent out were really extra cringeworthy, because in my mind, I had a really bad tactic. I mean, I guess it's not horrible, but it's not really the true way to go about things. But it was basically a results by numbers game, where you're blasting out basically a template with a different name at the beginning of it to everybody with a, like you said, with, you know, you didn't do this, but where I did, I put in, you know, schedule an appointment with me, so on and so forth. And this is what we can do. Here's our brochure. I probably sent out thousands upon thousands of these things on LinkedIn through the sales navigator side of things. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I literally did not get a single job through in any of those. And I'm not joking, not a single one. In matter of fact, I've gotten more organic leads through LinkedIn by just posting the stuff that we do. You know, I know that earlier on in my LinkedIn career, it was a lot of Envision branded content quite frequently. And as I get busier, and I do all the marketing for the company, by the way. So it's, if there's nothing on LinkedIn, it's because I'm busy. And and it's just kind of up and down. But, you know, the more authentic the things you put out there, the more authentic people believe you to be. And hopefully you are, right? You know, I mean, that's the thing is we can get into a whole segment on how to actually market yourself and your company and your business and your team and your services and all that good stuff. But the truth is just putting out there what you do, if you're allowed to put it out there, that just, you know, and doing it in an authentic way, not trying to pass something off as your own that's not yours. A lot of people in different varying markets do these things. And I've seen a few do it on here and I'm like, well, that's, you know, it's distasteful at best. And at worst, it's illegal for some of those people to pass work off. It's not theirs. Not illegal, I guess legally troubling for some of those people. I know some of those people have gotten into issues. But yeah, no, I think that being more authentic, and I got lucky. I don't know what the heck I did. I mean, I got a bunch of people to follow me on LinkedIn. I don't know what I did. But now that I do, I get a lot of...
I found you after your cringeworthy, you know, period of time, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Or at least I was never a target of that, and it would make sense. But I did see a lot of that heavily branded content, but stuff that you were doing, right? Updates on your business, you got a new van or, you know, something like that, a new office, right? I love that. And, but that's probably also because I'm kind of a fellow, like, I mean, I'm employee number one at QuiltBeam. It's not my company, but I have started my own companies. I've run a business with my husband. I, you know, Automation Ladies at this point is kind of a business as much as it's just, you know, something that we started to, again, fill a gap. We were complaining about the lack of something and decided to just do something about it instead of complaining about it. And so to me, that content is absolutely what I want to see on my feed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It makes me... I love seeing other people trying things, succeeding at things, but I agree with you. I don't want to see overly shiny, you know, produced, not real, realistic content either.
Yeah, there's like a balance to it.
That,
yeah.
You know, I just got the feeling that I think you're legit. And I don't know you. I didn't know you personally originally, but it was that consistency of your content. And it seemed to clearly be, you know, kind of you. That's what made me want to follow along. And I think probably many others. And then, you know, as your business grows, you have more stuff to share. It's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I want to just give off of me and my friends and people that I know, thank you for sharing what you do. Because like we, you know, the reason we started Automation Ladies, we felt like there was not enough content by women in the industry. I also in general feel like there hasn't been enough sharing of content and best practices and learnings and information in the industry. And that's one of the things that a lot of the people that are more active in the community kind of are doing, giving value, sharing things that they know. You know, Josh Varghese being a perfect Varghese. Sorry, Josh, I always get it wrong for no good reason. You know, people like that, they're out there working in these fields. And then as they learn, as they find things out, as they question, they're sharing it. And I think that's also a big part of the authenticity. It's not just you going, you know, read my ebook. I know everything. These same people are asking for help and resources sometimes. And I think that also makes you come across as very genuine, because if you're out there really doing the work, you don't always know everything. And you're going to have to work with other people and learn things along the way.
100%. Yeah. You know, actually, something that I constantly preach to my team and really just about anybody else I ever work with or run into is don't be afraid to ask for help. First of all, if you think this guy knows everything, he doesn't. So if I can't get it for you, let's find out where we can get it. Because, you know, to pretend that everything would be, first of all, the silliest thing in the world, unless all you're doing day in, day out, like you're not even sleeping, you're just a subject matter expert 24/7, but no one lives like that. You know, there are definitely anomalies. There are people out here who are just unbelievably well-versed in a particular subject matter. And they're also very talented at maintaining a lot of that memory. But otherwise, most of us, like 99% of us, we need help sometimes. So just ask for help. It's not a big deal. You know, that collaborative nature, that's one of the tenets I push around here at Envision. You've got to be collaborative. If you're going to be a lone wolf type, it's probably not going to work here. You know, don't get me wrong. Lone wolf types can be very efficient, very driven, very, you know, high performers, quite literally. But at the same time, they're siloed. They're not working with anybody else and maybe not even helping anybody else. So it just, you know, and there's a place for those kinds of people, that personality type, so to speak, because there's no wrong way to do things when it comes to your career in that regard. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can tank your career pretty quick doing other things, but being a lone wolf who's just a high performer, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that you got to find where you fit in what kind of organization, because I can tell you that our organization is not looking for the person who's just siloed off to himself and doesn't need anybody, doesn't want anybody to help or be involved. We like a collaborative nature. You know, the work we do is by definition, has to be collaborative. You have multiple different disciplines that have to come together to make a machine a reality from concept. So,
yeah,
no, I totally agree with what you're saying on that.
So it looks like we're coming up close to time. We've got a few people saying they got a roll. So I'm going to go ahead and ask kind of our last question, but what would you say to those that listen to this that maybe are inspired by you and want to hire your company? Can you tell us, I guess this is a multi-part question, so excuse me.
Sure.
I do this a lot. Tell us about like what types of projects do you sweet spot at Envision? How people want to get in touch with you if they want to do business with you, whether it's Envision or Rapid Panels. And then if there's anything that we should be looking forward to see from you in the next few months that you want to point our attention to. And then we can put links to all these things in the resource, in the show notes, as well as in your guest profile on automationladies.io.
Sure. So our sweet spot, as of lately, we've been doing a lot of flow and leak testing equipment. We do that turnkey. But we also have worked in material handling equipment, a few different industries with relation to robotics as well. If you guys need to get a hold of us, you can go to the website and put in a quote there, or you can just contact me directly. My phone number is just about everywhere. I still am the only person on that phone number at this time. So when you call, if you don't get me, you'll get my voicemail. When it comes to Rapid Panels, you can go to the website. It's been glitchy. So if it's not working and you want to get a quote, just fire it to Preston@rapidpanels.com and I'll get you a quote back very quickly. I did want to touch on one thing actually before we go. That you didn't ask. And that is, a few years ago, I ran a Change of Life giveaway, okay, which was where we gave away PLCs and HMIs and stuff like that. That passion's been reignited, and I would like to do something else like that. So I'd like to announce here that we're going to be doing that the second quarter of this year. It's actually going to be something I posted about recently that I find really interesting. I haven't tried one yet myself, and that is the Arduino Finder PLC kit. So we're going to sponsor the giveaway, one of those PLC kits. We're going to do it just the same as we did last time. We're going to have a sign-up page and all that. So just announcing that here. Nothing's up yet, but it should be in the next couple of weeks, and everyone can start looking at that. And again, it's something that we want people who are new or trying to break into controls specifically, or really just like PLC programming, anyone who would be doing that. It could be someone who's in maintenance, could be someone who wants to actually program equipment, or someone who does service. But we want people that are new and need that, you know, to kind of make progress, give them something to toy with at home and build their knowledge base. So I just wanted to add that.
Absolutely.
By the way, that was reignited, honestly, about a year ago, actually. I noticed that Allie had done the kids PLC kits. And I know that's, I'm pretty sure that she's running that as like that's a non-for-profit, I believe.
It's a non-profit, yeah. It's a 501(c) non-profit where she builds kits for public school teachers. Mm-hmm. And then there is the option to sell kits as well to like private schools or people that want to teach their kids privately, or anybody that, you know, can afford the kits. Mm-hmm. Please buy them to support the charity, right? They take donations of hardware from the manufacturers, as well as financial donations for things like shipping costs and putting the kits together, writing the curriculum. There's a number of volunteers in the organization that are writing curriculums for different PLC types. They have a Siemens kit out. They have a Automation Direct, like Click PLC kit out, and a few others. And then I will add a plug actually for Allie. So PCE is also selling DIY PLC kits. The current batch of kits is Allen Bradley, PLC and HMI, with a bunch of inputs and outputs and some DIN rail and terminal blocks and just, you know, like a kit for someone to be able to get started and play around. And this would be somebody that, you know, is maybe a little bit further along in their career and has, you know, about $1,000 to get a kit. They're available for sale on quotebeam.com. If anybody wants the link for that, hit me up, or we can post them in the comments later. But they're meant to be, you know, as cost effective as possible for being real industrial grade, you know, factory sealed. A lot of it's surplus, obviously, but to try to keep the cost down. But there are lots of options, and we will make sure to share the link for the Change of Life giveaway, so that somebody that is, you know, in that wanting to get started, just learning position can have, you know, it changes lives, right? Who was it that won your last giveaway? I remember also I shared that very early on from QuoteBeam because I thought it was amazing. And you were probably like, what is this company and why are they sharing my stuff?
Yeah, that was Jason Rice, I believe. But I believe, well, that's the one that sticks out to me the most. There was actually several winners. Jason Rice was a really important one to me. He you know, the visibility from that, allegedly, according to him and the recruiter that recruited him, I guess that helped him land a job somewhere. I think it was Solutions at the time. So yeah, no, very cool. There was a few other people, names I can't recall at the moment. It's been a few years. I think one, Corey Cox, I think he'd won, I believe it was the Festo kit. And there was one other gentleman, but I can't remember his name at the moment either. But yeah, no, it was a great endeavor, a worthwhile endeavor, something I got a lot of personal satisfaction out of. And, you know, when I get much older and hopefully I'm, you know, retired from Envision by that point, I would like to get back into some form of teaching or mentorship for somebody, whether it's on the technical side or maybe even in a business sense. Because I've received a lot of mentorship in my career so far, and it really does make a difference. I mean, the simple fact that you can call on somebody if you have a question and get a different perspective, it may not even be the right perspective. It's really helpful. I mean, I won't name names, but I've gotten phone calls so far in my career, people asking me for my perspective, even people who do what we do. And I wouldn't say they'd be surprised that I answered, but I more than likely will, because I like to, you know, help out and give some kind of, even if it's just a different perspective in general. It doesn't have to be super knowledgeable, I guess, but usually I only try to speak on things I'm knowledgeable on. So, but yeah, no,
yeah, it makes a huge difference. Just putting people in the right direction or opening their eyes to a new potential solution or a way of looking things sometimes just really helps getting an outside perspective.
Yeah, oftentimes it's similar experience. Agree. I mean, more often it's the solution is more simplistic than you're working it up to be in your own mind. You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need that other perspective.
Absolutely. And with that, I will kind of close out. We actually recorded an interview yesterday with Eric Collins, the owner of Rockport Integration or Automation. It's rockportia.com. And he had a lot of very similar things to say. He's on the West Coast. And he also said, you know, to this community, particularly, these business owners, these controls people going out on their own, you know, make sure if you don't know people, you can call him. You can call Preston, right? If you don't have a local network already or mentors, it can be a huge, you know, make or break kind of thing when you get into a rough time. And trust me, everybody does. Preston, you've had him, right? You've got the success, but you've had the lows. Everybody needs help now and then, right? So lean on us as a community, but don't be just a taker, right? You know, you should take somebody else's call and help them out, whether it's the same person or just somebody else. Have that mentality of sharing, helping each other. And I want to say this too about job seekers. Do what, you know, the person that won Preston's kit, they shared that, what they were working on, that they, you know, you got to put yourself out there. You got to help yourself and show people what you're doing. And then people will see you, right? They see you as authentic. They see you as somebody that's learning instead of spamming your resume to, you know, 200 people and say, give me a job. Go show me something. Do something. I think everybody wants to give opportunities, but it's real hard to give opportunities to people that don't want to help themselves. So,
no, 100% agree. I ran into that just recently with a gentleman that wanted to come work here at Envision. We hired him part time, and you know, I couldn't justify bringing him on full time for the knowledge, you know, his level of knowledge. And I said, you know, Envision is known for taking chances on people that haven't either worked in automation or don't have a ton of experience. And I basically said, hey, I think you should, you know, here's the control starter document that I put on LinkedIn a few years ago. There's hardware in there, there's software resources, there's learning resources like Saul's Tim Wilburn's curriculum. I said, and if you just showed up to me, if I didn't know you and you showed up here 3 weeks ago with your laptop with RS500 open and showed me a couple programs that you'd written and you were able to articulate to me that you understood what you had written or maybe, you know, followed along with on curriculum, I would take a chance at putting you in a starting position as a technician to help commission equipment and, you know, maybe program some basic machines and work your way through it and work your way up into, you know, a much higher position. But I just couldn't. Yeah. And I said, I think you really should, you can't work here now. And he went on to another automation company to build panels. But I told him, I said, if you really want to do this long-term, you want to be a programmer or you want to do electrical drawings or whatever the case is, you need to take it upon yourself and, you know, learn some of this stuff and show an employer. I said, if you do that, you're going to land a job. You know, it's initiative is the word I'm looking for. Initiative.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah, no, I totally understand. I totally agree.
Alrighty, well, that's it. Thanks, everybody. I want to make, again, reiterate the suggestion that you network with those people that, you know, are also in the comments. If you watch this later, this is a community that wants to be connected. And yeah, go out and give as you can, right? As you're in a position to do, and, you know, help comes your way as well. So I look forward to following your success and your future adventures and other businesses, whatever that you plan to do on LinkedIn. I think, you know, you will find out if anybody doesn't enjoy your content anymore, but at this moment, I would be happy to see more of it on my feed. So thank you so much for joining us, Preston.
Yeah, likewise. And
have a great rest of your Thursday.
Hey, you as well. Y'all take care. Thanks for having me. See you guys.